Welcome to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast, where we hear from some of the most relevant, up-to-date, informational speakers in our industry. In episode 39, Andrew Nadler, agricultural meteorologist at Peak Hydromet Solution, shares his story. Weather for 2018. Expect the unexpected.
You really want to see the people because you can't check them. It's really a neat place to be. As a lot of you know, I used to work with Manitoba Agriculture for about 9 years, and then I went to private industry, and then I moved out west a couple of years ago. But I have to say, and this is maybe something that people don't say a lot, is I'm really happy to be back in Manitoba in January. Planning it, you never know what to expect, but driving in it, I was like plus five or something last night. I'm thinking, winters have changed around here. But I know what it was like the week before, and what it's going to be like the week after. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about sort of where we've been and where we're going, but first of all, and I can't do it without talking about moisture. Now, there's no close by in the front rows here, but can anybody tell me how much does a crop, say a typical wheat crop, would require for water within a growing season? Any guesses? No guesses? All right. 6 inches? 14? Well, somewhere in between, basically. You see the ruler stick here? It's about a foot of water. About 12 and change is what a typical wheat crop would require. And, you know, that's going to go up and down every year by a couple of inches. Is it a hot summer? Is it a cold summer? Those types of things. What kind of crop? How strong? But, you know, rule of thumb is about 12 inches of water the crop is going to require within the growing season. Now, if you think about that, whether it be in a small area, like an acre or a section, that's 12 inches of water sitting there that the crop is actually using. And when you think about it that way, that's a lot of water. So, of course, that water has to come from somewhere. Mostly, well, a lot of it's going to come from rainfall. So, normal rainfall for this area, kind of western Manitoba, it's about 9 inches. So, as you go east towards Winnipeg, it'll be a little bit more. As you go west, it'll be a little bit less. But around the Brandon area, looking at the normal 30-year normal temperature or rainfall, about 9 inches is what we'd expect to get during the growing season. So as you can see, we're about 3 inches short. Let's look at last year, though. As you know, last year was not a wet year at all. We received about 5.5 inches of rainfall throughout the growing season, and that's April through July, so that's even pre-seeding, which obviously the crop can use. So clearly there's quite a lot of deficit between what the crop requires and what the rainfall actually provided. Now, you don't want to go on with that. There's more than just the rainfall, but I think it's important to look at this just to see that last year, say the Brandon area, there was about a 7-inch deficit between what the crop requires and what the actual rainfall provided. So last year was about 58% of normal, or about 44% of the crop water demand. 2016, just from reference, it was about 266, so about 10.5 inches. So 2016 was quite above average. So we had quite a fluctuation there between 2016, which is wet, 2017, which was dry. But, of course, with a dry year like that, you'd expect, drought. You'd expect super dry conditions, bad crops, that type of thing. But we really didn't see that. And why is that? Well, it's that sort of moisture part. I showed you the 2016 rainfall, and there was a lot of it there, which basically what that got is going into the spring, we had a nice full root zone. And, people talk about that root zone like money in the bank. Well, if you start off with a good, healthy root zone, if you have less moisture throughout the growing season, well, that can carry you along. And that's really what we saw. This is a map. This is done by Wes Henry out of Saskatoon. He does this map every year in fall, late fall. This is
is. I think it's going to be in Grain News within the next week or so. But this is his estimate of subsoil moisture. In this case, it's going into the winter of 2016, so that's over a year ago. But what it really shows you is that the soil moisture, in this case, he rates it as, you know, for pretty well most of Western Canada, up in, you know, to the Alberta border, it's wet. So clearly we went into the winter with a good soil moisture reserve. Now, this is the Manitoba Agriculture Soil Moisture Survey, just to, you know, shows fairly similar. For the most part, 80 to 100% of moisture in the root zone. So going into the winter of 2016-17, there was a lot of soil moisture there. So it's important to appreciate just how much moisture that soil can hold. We talked about that crop using 12 inches or so, or requiring 12 inches or so of moisture. Well, if you look at what the soil can actually hold, so something like a sandy loam can actually hold about 6 inches of moisture within that root zone, so roughly the 4 foot zone, about 6 inches of moisture. Your loam soil is about 7. Your clay loam can actually hold over 8 inches of moisture. And I put the references there just to prove that I'm not making this stuff up. And also, if you see the year 1960, it means it's, you know, this is information that's been known for a long time. That's almost 60 years old, and it's, you know, beyond that. Basically, is it just to show how important that soil moisture is when you're going into the growing season. And I think in this past year, we saw it so much just in terms of, you know, this is how much that soil moisture could really contribute. So I showed you these left-hand images a couple of minutes ago. If you see just how much that soil moisture part can make up for that, so, you know, even something like what we received in 2017, that 5.5 inches, if you look at what even a sandy loam, which has a reasonably low water holding capacity, you can actually get pretty close to your whole demand just between that. So with the rainfall like we had in 2017, which was low, that soil moisture really carried the ball the rest of the way. You know, as you can see with something like a clay loam, well, really, you know, 8 inches, 8.5 inches of capacity added to the rainfall. There's really no issues there. So that's where when the rainfall stopped, the crop, it just kept going. And I think a lot of people were surprised at that. If you didn't look at the soil moisture, you'd be pretty surprised. So I want to get to the spring forecast. I think that's what most people want to hear about, is what's it going to be like in spring? You know, we can look outside. We know that the spring's coming. The question is, all right, what do we expect? What kind of spring is it going to be like? Now, I like to divide it into three compartments. There's two compartments that we pretty much know, and then there's one compartment we know less about. But these are really the main factors that we look at. One of them is past growing season. And I showed you a little bit about that. I'm going to return to it. But what have we seen? What are the conditions leading up to next season that, obviously with soil moisture, that are going to determine where things are going? The other piece of it is the winter snowpack precipitation. I actually do put that piece of the pie a little bit less prominent. I'll explain that in a minute. And then, of course, the long-range forecast. That's when, you know, you get the Dave Phillips and stuff saying that, you know, the next few months are going to be like this. And, you know, a little bit of the crystal balling, but I think it's important to see what those say. So if we look at the past growing season, and this adds to what I was explaining with our low rainfall, and you look spatially across the prairies, we can really see that the rainfall was, in fact, low. And as you move west, it got lower and lower. Lowest area was the area surrounding Regina. But if you see western Manitoba, fairly low. If you look at percent of average, I think that's where it's really striking in terms of, you know, if you look at what the average is across western Canada, you know, we're looking at 60 to 85% of average. So in the grand scheme of things, very low in terms of the historic. And then again, if you see kind of that area, Regina and south, it's quite low. And that's a departure from normal. So what this does, this is what you expect, or what's normal, and this is what we actually got. You can see in a lot of areas, you know, the extreme cases, 150 millimeters less than average. So this area in the red, Regina, some of the areas in the southern Manitoba. That's 150 millimeters, so about 6 inches less water than what is normal for that period. And this period is April 1 to October 31st, so it actually includes all the way till close to freeze-up. But it just really serves as a real sobering reminder of just how little moisture there was in some of these areas. Now, this is the updated soil moisture, or stubble soil moisture map by Les Henry. And you can really see a difference between the one I showed a few slides back, where the one previously, pretty well everything in Manitoba, Saskatchewan was blue, it was wet. In this case, we're seeing, you know, it's still moist. It's not like there's no moisture at all, but we're seeing dry, and extremely or very dry in some areas. So if we look at Western Canada or Western Manitoba, sort of from Brandon west, and then excluding the southern part, you know, in most cases we're moist. So, you know, it's not super dry. It's about midway. So I think this is a good map just to see spatially, you know, what's going on in Western Canada. And again, for the fall soil moisture, the Manitoba Agriculture Survey, it's another good resource, is you can see, I'd say it's a little bit higher in some areas than the previous one, but, you know, in some areas, 80 to 100% soil moisture, which is, well, that's really a healthy root zone soil moisture. But, of course, we do see some lower areas. So, winter precipitation. I think we can all look outside and see that there's not a lot of snow. This is what we're seeing from the from NOAA's, the U.S. Analysis with snowpack or snow water equivalent. It's decent snow coverage through good parts of North America, the normal parts. But when we look again at actual what we received in terms of snowfall compared with normal, we're seeing the accumulations are pretty low. These are the actual numbers, so it was about 25 to 35 millimeters in terms of snow water equivalent. So, you know, there is some precipitation out there throughout the winter. But again, when we start comparing it to normal, you can really see that things are way, way down from what we're expecting or from what we've, you know, what would be normal. So in this case, you can see all these, all the orange areas are 40 to 60% of normal. The red areas are less than 40% of normal. So, again, and this is particularly, you know, you can see in the Manitoba areas, the snowpack, you know, even compared to Saskatchewan, has been well under what, you know, what we would normally expect. And again, that's not surprising when you look outside. There's just not a lot of snow, so there is less snowpack out there. This map's interesting, and I should explain it first, is the percentiles. In this case, what it looks at is the whole historical distribution. So if it's a median year, you'd get around the 50th percentile. It's pretty normal, depending if it's up or down. In this case, what we're seeing in some of these areas, these brown areas, they're extremely low. So that means that, say, over 100 years, these would be the bottom 10 years. Or in 10 years, it would be the bottom 1 year. So it's that lowest percentile, so that lowest percent, 10% of years. So what we're seeing this last winter has been, up until now, has been very low in terms of snowpack or in terms of winter precipitation. So just to summarize right now with winter precipitation and snowpack, well, it is well below average. There's no surprises there. But on the other hand, If your soils are drier, the benefit is that actually when the snow that's there does melt, more of it's actually going to go into the soil, because if you go in with a wet soil, it kind of seals things off and then you have more runoff. So the benefit here is that the snow that is on the ground, more of it is going to go into the soil when it melts. The disadvantage, though, is, as you know, if there's less snow, that's less insulation on the soil. Your freeze is going to be deeper, most likely. And so that's going to potentially cause more runoff, or at least it's going to slow down your spring for things like seeding, soil temperature, warm-up, those types of things. So there is a plus and a minus, but the message there is there's not a lot of snowpack out there. So I want to move to the forecast. Now, this is probably what a lot of people are looking forward to, and like I said, this is a little bit of the crystal balling, but there's a lot of good science in here, and there's a lot of good information. So most people by now have probably heard about La Nina. Everybody, it's usually either El Nino or a La Nina year. Those are kind of the two extremes, and they are, in all intents and purposes, they're really opposites of each other. So I'll talk a little bit about La Nina, just in terms of why we care about it. And essentially what it is it's this blue strip here. This is a map of sea surface temperatures throughout the oceans of the world. And you see some, actually, sea surface temperatures anomalies. So it's not the actual temperature, it's how they differ from normal. So if it's white, that means it's pretty well normal temperature. If it's red, it means it's warmer than normal. If it's blue, it means it's colder than normal. So this line here in the southern Pacific, because it's blue, that's that El Nino zone, or the Nino zone, or the La Nina zone. And depending on what the anomaly is, determines if it's La Nina or El Nino. If it's red and it's warmer than normal, it'd be a El Nino. In this case, it is a La Nina, so that's what we're looking at right now. And why do we care? Well, first of all, before I get into that, why we care, this just shows within these regions, so there's actually these Nino regions throughout the ocean. Again, we're looking at higher temperature anomalies, and then this last little while, the last few months, we're seeing lower temperatures in that ocean, in that area of the ocean. So we're definitely currently in a La Nina cycle. And this is why we care. Well, this is sort of our typical, what we typically expect with a La Nina winter. Wetter on the southwest coast, on the west coast, drier in the south, and on the prairies, well, combine that with these polar vortices, it's cold. Cold winter, and that's what we've seen. Now, the moisture part, which we sort of care about more, depending who you ask, I think for agriculture it's the moisture part, it's sort of a mix. We see in the southern part, we do certainly get the wetter, so kind of around the Great Lakes area. But in the prairies, it's a little bit of a mix, which I'll get into. Now, I apologize, that's a lot of maps. I don't want to overload everybody with maps, but the gist of these is, sorry, I can't point to both of these, but what it shows on the left-hand side of these maps is January, February, March, the temperature anomaly associated with La Nina. So the top and bottom, and the gist of it is, if you look at it, you see blue. That means colder. So I'm glad they put the temperatures the way they match. So the left-hand map shows that generally in La Nina years, we're seeing colder. And that's no surprise. That's pretty consistent. Now, this map that's the third in line here, that shows the precipitation anomaly. What we're seeing is, in terms of if it's green to blue, that means that La Nina, it's associated with higher than average precipitation. We're really not seeing a lot of that. This is what we're seeing. It's very close to this very generalized picture of what goes on. We're kind of seeing, and we can, what I'm doing is sort of interpolating beyond North Dakota, Minnesota, into Manitoba, that it's pretty well white. So we're not really seeing a huge, either way, wetter or drier due to La Nina, or at least during the La Nina part of it. So I'm not leaving things in case anybody's wondering what the second map is. That's the frequency. So that's how often it's expected. So higher frequency versus lower frequency, or at least how often it's been observed. Now, here's a few more maps. But on the global side, this is a couple of prominent El Nino, or La Nina years, sorry. 1998 were two prominent La Nina years. So the question is, well, what did we see back then? Quite often forecasters will look at what are called analogs. They'll look at similar conditions in previous years, and they'll say, well, how did those years end up? Can we relate those to this year to see, are there some similarities? Does that match? Can we use that as a comparison? So looking at these 2 years, December 1988, and that map I showed a few back with that blue stripe across the Southern Pacific, this would be pretty close to what we're looking at right now, or this past December. We're seeing very similar conditions. And what we're seeing here, and this again is rainfall anomaly, so what's that either above or below average bias in the precipitation? What we're seeing again is if you look at kind of that middle of North America, in this case, there really wasn't much going on. It was pretty well normal rainfall throughout that La Nina period. But what is interesting, and this is I think where things where things get a little bit more interesting, is looking at the years after that. So we look at 88 and 98 as kind of typical La Nina years. If we look at the subsequent growing season, and in this case, these years, it was a La Nina year, kind of trickled off into spring, which is what's expected. We had above average rainfall in both growing seasons afterwards. So the growing season of 1989, rainfall was about 140% of normal. 1999, so the year later, was about 133% of normal. So we did see above average rainfall. So if we were to project that, well, in 2018, we've had very similar conditions, it's looking good in that way. The other thing is that, and I'll talk about this in a second, getting out of the La Nina cycle, quite often it is associated with increased rainfall. Now, that's a loaded chart here. I show this for a couple of reasons. One of them just to show you how some of this forecasting is done. Now, what happens with the forecast is basically we know what happens until a certain time. Say today, we know what's going on. In this case, with the ocean temperatures and the currents, we can say we know what's happening until now, and then we run a whole bunch of forecasts out into the future. Each one of these squiggly spaghetti lines here is a forecast into the future. And what they'll do is they'll take an ensemble, which means they'll kind of put them all together and see this is what ends up, and that's our highest probability of something happening. So in this case, what they're saying is kind of by early spring, here we have March, April, May, it's pretty well expected it's going to come out of that La Nina. Same thing here. This is this bar chart. It shows probabilities of those different La Nina, El Nino, or neutral. The blue is a high probability of La Nina, so December, January, February, February, March, February, March, April, it's a pretty high probability. Then it kind of just drops into that neutral where everything's pretty much equal probability. So what it's really saying is by spring, we're going to be pretty much out of that La Nina cycle. So what does that mean? Well, first I want to talk about the soil moisture again before I get into what all this La Nina stuff means. So I showed you that 12-inch chart to show how much water does a crop need, that 12 inches. I showed what we had. Now, if we look through a growing season, this is that same information. So we start, say we're planting around May 1st or so, end of April, start of May. That crop water demand, like I said, it's about 12 inches here. It's 300 millimeters for anybody who's metrically challenged. Our water demand, it starts off kind of shallow, and then it peaks up as the crop's really growing, and then it levels off kind of right before harvest. Now, throughout that period, as we know, it's soaking up moisture. It needs that moisture. Like I showed, we have the rainfall that's coming in, so that's feeding. It's feeding the crop, and we also have that soil moisture part. Now, in this case, pretend there was no soil moisture. So what we have is our normal rainfall, as you can see, it just doesn't keep up with what the crop water demand is. And at some point, it's going to get stressed. Now, again, this is pretending that there is no root zone soil moisture. So if we started with a dry root zone, put a crop in, it rains, there's enough to germinate, and you're basically feeding the crop with water as you go along, what would happen is at some point your crop water demand would just surpass what's coming through rainfall, and then you'd have stress. Keeping in mind this is a really simplified version because, well, rainfall comes sporadically, there's runoff, all those factors, but to simplify it. Now, if we look again at last year's rainfall, so this is 2017, we see what actually happened. So from, say, April 1 to, you know, effectively the end of July, which is really when it's effective, we sort of had that trickle in of moisture. We had a little bit in, you know, June, there was okay rainfalls, and then it sort of tapered off. We had a little bit in July. So what we would have seen is we would have seen stress pretty early in the season. Really late May, we would have seen a fair bit of stress, and then it kind of, you get a bit of rainfall, maybe that feeds the crop, and then it, you know, then really from then on, really from June 15th on, we're really just stressed for the rest of the season. And, you know, had we not had that soil moisture, it would have been a complete crop loss. Now, last year, I think probably in a lot of areas, we had pretty close to that full root zone. So, you know, whether it be 80%, 90%, 100% of that field capacity, that really, you know, saved the crop essentially. So if we were to say that this line at the 150, so roughly 6 inches is what the root zone provided, everything above that for rain, normal rainfall would have easily, that would have, you know, probably actually been too much rainfall. So, you know, we probably would have been talking about the other side of things, excess moisture right now. But because, you know, in this case, really only, you know, there wasn't a lot needed. 150 mils was needed. Normal, you know, like I say, if we would have had normal rainfall, it would have been quite a lot of rain, a lot of moisture. So this year, if we look and we say, you know, it's going to vary from place to place, what if our root zone's about halfway full, which is probably accurate in a lot of areas. In some cases, it may be a little more. In some cases, a little bit less. But if we're starting with, say, that half-full bank account, if you look at, you know, water like being, or soil moisture like being money in the bank, what would happen if we had normal rainfall? Well, if you had your, you know, your half root zone, so, you know, about 75 millimeters, say 3 inches of water within your root zone, you add normal rainfall to that, you're actually still in good shape. So what I'm getting at here is, even though our root zone right now is pretty empty compared to, say, last year, if we can get normal rainfall within the next little while, the next few months, the crop is fine. So really, you know, in this case, normal rainfall to meet demands, we're at about, you know, 235 millimeters. So, you know, that would be roughly your 8-9 inches. That's quite doable. So if we look at what the forecast is, what are the models saying? Well, there's old variable. This is Environment Canada's forecast. Unfortunately, this one they put it out every month. So right now, this is the December 31st forecast. They're saying pretty much normal precipitation outlook for, in this case, it's January, February, March. So for the rest of the season. I'm not too confident in Environment Canada right now, partially because looking at the last couple of forecasts they put out, in this case, this was the one they put out at the end of November, and they were saying that the December, January, February were going to be above normal for moisture in the prairies. And I thought, well, we all know that hasn't been the case yet. Although we're still not into February, so we're about halfway through that period. So it could still happen. But if we look at the month before it was issued, this was the October 31st issuing for the November, December, January. So that one we're only about 10 days away from, 12 days away from being over. They were showing above average precipitation for pretty much most of the winter. So, again, we really haven't seen that. Now, just put this up to knock Environment Canada because, you know, it's almost too easy. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's just, if we look at, you know, the past performance with how their models have been doing, I would just have to say it's kind of so-so at this point. Now, the other side of it is, the U.S., they put out their predictions, too. And I've been looking at these ones quite closely, actually. This is their precipitation and temperature outlook. Now, this one also is the end of December issued, but I'll show you some other ones. You do notice something, though. unfortunately, they don't acknowledge that Canada exists. We can interpolate here. Luckily we're pretty close to, again, this, the North Dakota, Minnesota. So what you can see is with the trends, I'm going to go out on a limb and, add my own extension to that, what's being forecast in these northern states is going to be pretty close to what comes up to southern Manitoba, southern prairies. So what they have been forecasting is generally for precipitation, and in this case, this is the three-month probability. So what we're looking at here is basically for precipitation, we're looking at above average. So that, going into the future, that is a good sign. This is January, February, March, by the way. And then temperatures, of course, below normal, which nobody's surprised at right now. Now, these came up today, if you notice the date on them. They're issued at regular intervals. And so I was pretty excited to see these right now. Basically, what it's showing is very, very much in line with what the La Nina forecasts are saying. As I mentioned, going out of the La Nina quite often, it is associated with moisture. So if we look ahead at the NOAA forecast, we're seeing, for the northern states, and I'm going to say the southern prairies, precipitation and the green and the A mean above average for both the, all the April, May, March, April, May, June, and then really by the time the May, June, July, it's kind of into that normal. But as I showed, that normal would not be a bad thing. I think it's, if we're below normal, that would be another question. But right now, I would say none of the forecasts, and this, this includes other ones as well that I'm not showing, nothing right now is suggesting below normal precipitation, which I think is really important when we're looking at that. And that's probably a big sensitivity there. So really, to go over that, we have seen the weak to moderate La Nina. It is going to continue till late spring. And as I just mentioned, it is associated with that below average temperature, but less on the precipitation side. Obviously, expect colder than normal temperatures for the remainder of winter. But it's that transition out of La Nina that seems consistently to be associated with those higher amounts of moisture. And the long-range forecasts do tend to agree that that we should be seeing some above-average precipitation. So that's absolutely fortunate in that way. So here's the so what. Well, we know that 2017, it was really that soil moisture that saved us. That was the big thing. If the soil moisture wasn't there, it would have been a huge crop loss, but that was the big part. So that was important. So if we look at those three factors, the soil moisture reserves, they're so-so. So I figured, let's go with a thumbs up, thumbs down. I'd say it's not quite a thumbs down in terms of, there is some soil moisture reserve, but it's not, it's not right up there. It's probably on the lower side, but it's not completely depleted. So far, the winter precipitation and the fall precipitation, that has been, as I showed, it's at a historical low. So in that case, I think if we're counting on that, at this point, it really, really has not provided. So we know that piece of it is just not there. Now, I think the long-range forecast is the big one. Now, obviously, that's the one we know the least about. We know, what's happened up until today. But when we look at forecast, right now, all indications are showing that, things are looking good. We are seeing a long-range forecast that's pointing to either normal or above normal rainfall, or precipitation, and then rainfall into spring, which is really positive. So I think, that's basically what we need to sustain the crop. So finally, and this is sort of the wrap-up here, it's calling for that normal to above normal. Really, the important thing is those well-timed rainfalls throughout the 2018 growing season. With the lower soil moisture, as I showed with those accumulating graphs, we really need that soil moisture, that rainfall throughout the season to sustain the crop, just because that soil moisture is not there. And then, you know, really that normal to above normal is the main point. So I think with that, that would be the my last slide. So I thank you very much. And I don't know if there's time for questions.
Thanks for tuning in to the Manitoba Ag Days podcast. We'll see you next year from January 22nd to 24th, 2019.